Hey, it's always a pleasure catching up with our man Tyler McComas from KREF Radio there in Oklahoma. Tyler, thank you so much for taking the time. I know it's a great time to be a Sooner right now, and from what I hear, you're about to catch a pie in the face.
Yeah, I thought the pie in the face was going to be because I told you and Shane at SEC Media Day, remember like the hot take segment at the end? I said, guys, John Mateer and Jaden Ott will be the best quarterback running back duo in the SEC. So I thought that's what this pie in the face was all about. We just donated the most money to United Way of Norman, which is really cool. But I deserve a pie in the face for that. And the other dude that was with you, I think he was some Kentucky guy, saying that OU wasn't going to make a bowl game and Brent was going to get fired. Let's get that guy a pie in the face for that take, man. I thought mine was bad. That was a bad take.
Yeah, shout out Adam Luckett from Kentucky Sports Radio. No fan of Brent Venables, but I think he's going through his own misery right now after they've had to fire Mark Stoops. But, hey, I know Oklahoma, they got a proud tradition, you know, arguably the most, you know, best program in college football history. But is hosting Alabama for a college football playoff, is it in discussion for the biggest home game in Oklahoma football history?
I mean, it's in the discussion. I don't think that there's much of a discussion to be had. It is the biggest game in OU football history, home game in OU football history. Like some others that come to mind, Nebraska was number one in 2000 during that Red October run. You won that one. That was huge. That announced the rest of college football that you were back. 2008, they played Texas Tech when Tech was number two in the country. 1985 was a big OU-Nebraska game. I mean, all of that. But, dude, this is OU and this is Alabama, and you've never seen anything like this before to where you win or you go home. You have a chance to win a national championship, and you get a step closer if you win this game. Now, if OU's playing, with all due respect, Tulane or James Madison, I don't think that this is such an easy slam dunk answer of yes. But because it is Alabama, because you have a chance to beat Bama for the third time in 13 months and everything that goes along with it, I think it is the biggest home game in OU history, especially if they make a run here. And, dude, the atmosphere is going to be insane. Just thank God it's not an 11 a.m. game on Saturday or people would be rioting around here.
Hey, does it blow your mind at all? Or I don't know if you've seen a lot of this, but like Chris Doering from SEC Network, mm-hmm. He does a hell of a job. He's got Oklahoma going all the way to the national championship. We've been asking everybody on our show of the teams playing in the first round, who do you have the most confident in to win the national championship? Literally everybody I've asked that question to says Oklahoma, yet the Sooners are underdogs against Alabama. So it's, I mean, the spreads don't necessarily mean anything, but is it interesting to you that, you know, there many perceive this as a team that could potentially even go all the way, yet they could lose in the first round? I mean, it's pretty interesting to think about, isn't it?
Shout out to Vern Funquist. I believe he was one of the ones on this show that said that. Is it wild? No, because you don't hate the draw that you got, you know? What is Alabama right now? Bama seems like they're a wounded animal a little bit. I mean, they've gotten up before this year after the loss to Florida State. They ended up playing their best football after that. But I looked up a stat today. On the OU defense. And clearly, if OU is going to make a run and make any sort of run to a championship, it's going to be because of the OU defense and the OU special teams, which is also one of the best in the SEC. So listen to this. The OU defense has only allowed 15 touchdowns this year in 12 games. And remember how difficult that schedule was that everyone was talking about. 15 touchdowns in 12 games. The next closest, LSU and Georgia, 24 touchdowns. 9 touchdowns separate the next closest team in the SEC from the Oklahoma defense. That 15 touchdowns allowed this year is the fewest in the SEC since Georgia in 2021. So OU can make a run in this thing. I think they're going to have to win the majority of these games, like 13-10 or 16-13 or scores like that. Like seriously, if OU doesn't make a run, it's going to be because the OU offense isn't good enough, but man, they went to Neyland and won in the most impressive atmosphere that I've ever witnessed as a college football fan. They went to Bryant-Denny and won that game. I mean, they've just figured out ways to win. The Brent Venables teams of the past, Mike, they would find ways to lose those games. They would be in it late, but then they would make a critical mistake to lose it. I think this team has figured out how to win. This team has figured out how to win close games. I think however many games they play left, they're going to be in a close game from here on out. And they just know how to win games, and they know how to come up with key plays, clutch moments, all that. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if OU's able to beat Alabama at home. Indiana's really good, man, but their best defensive lineman got hurt after the Big Ten championship game. OU's defense can cause problems for them. We saw last year the teams that had a bye, how much they struggled. Texas Tech or Oregon, you take your chances there. So I'm not picking this team to win the national championship, but I do think they can win a couple of games because I think this defense, by the numbers, by the eye test, is just really this good, man. I mean, it really is. And they're getting R. Mason Thomas back for the first time since the first half of the Tennessee game, and he was first-team All-SEC and barely even played the month of November. That's how good that dude is.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, I think it was a three-man front you did yesterday where you mm-hmm. anticipated he was going to play. So that maybe not a huge surprise, but what a boost could that be to Oklahoma in this matchup?
I mean, he's your best pass rusher. I think he's your – when he's been available, he's been your best player on defense and maybe just overall the best player that you have on your football team. You know, he was suspended because of a targeting call for the first half against Auburn. And he came out in the opening possession of the third quarter against Auburn. And you're smiling, so you probably know what play I'm talking about. He literally caught Jackson Arnold from the backside and just threw his entire body. Like, just announced his presence immediately, man. He gets the sack against Auburn late for the safety. Heck, dude. I mean, this has been an incredible season for OU with all these big plays. The biggest play of the season so far is the play that he got hurt where he had the scoop and score at Neyland and scored. So the biggest moments of the year, R. Mason Thomas has really been a part of those. He's the best pass rusher I think this program's had in a long time. They've still been very, very good without him. But to be able to add him to the mix, a first team All-SEC guy on the defensive line, for a Bama offensive line that's struggling, for a Bama passing attack that's seen a lot of pressure on Ty Simpson, I mean, it's not a small thing. It's a big deal, I believe.
I stopped smiling when you started talking about Tennessee. That Cousin Shane's still not over that strip sack. You know what?
I just love the video where he's outside the stadium. Well, we suck.
Hey,
beautiful.
Are Sooner fans, how over are they? Because I keep every preview, every mention of this matchup, I just keep hearing, so I can imagine they're tired of it as well. Do you know Alabama doubled the yardage of Oklahoma in the last, like that means something?
Who gives a damn about that? OU won the football game. And they really led the entire game. I mean, they got up 10-0 pretty quick. They were up 17-7. Yeah, Bama ended up taking a lead on that. But, I mean, if you're looking at it by the score, OU really controlled that. And two, look, the OU offense was not very good that day. I mean, they did what they needed to do at times to go score. But here's a point about that, but also a big key for the game on Friday night. Average field position, dude. Bama's average field position in that game was like their own 22, 23-yard line. And OU starting field position was like around their own 4. Like, it was a massive difference between starting field position. So I think that played into it as well. OU just had shorter fields than what Alabama did. But, yeah, I mean, it's – you roll your eyes as if the better team didn't win that day. And people act like it – well – that was kind of a fluke that Alabama turned the ball over 3 times. How was that a fluke? I mean, Ty Simpson throws the pick 6 because Kip Lewis is coming right at his face, man, you know? So it's almost as if, well, OU just got lucky because of the 3 turnovers. No, Bama had 3 turnovers, and they're lucky they didn't have more. Right before the pick 6, there's a ball laying right on the ground. One of OU's linebackers, Kobe McKenzie, just can't pick it up. OU gets another interception in the end zone in that game that gets overturned because of a PI. But the PI on the play had really nothing to do with where the ball was going. Bama kind of got bailed out on that. So, look, OU's going to have to replicate a lot of the things that they did from the last time around. But to say that OU just got extremely lucky, like turnovers are a part of the game, guys. Who cares who had the most total yards? 23-21 was the final score, and OU was the more physical team, and they dominated up front where it really mattered. So average field position mattered in that too. But yeah, to answer your question, it's super annoying to hear that over the past month. Very annoying.
Hey, what's the latest on the health of Oklahoma's running backs heading into this matchup? And is there a number perhaps in your head where either Oklahoma or even Alabama, where if they hit X amount of rushing yards, there's a good chance they'll win this game?
So Xavier Robinson was not listed on the availability report on Tuesday night. Torrey Blaylock was not listed on the availability report on Tuesday night. Javonte Barnes was, that sounds like it's more of a situation that he can preserve a redshirt year and maybe he can go somewhere else and kind of be the star next year. Being as it's a college football playoff game and a postseason game, we'll see if he gets any. I just find it hard to believe that he hasn't played for this long and they're going to throw him in a game of this magnitude. Neither team ran the ball well the last time they played. Alabama didn't run the ball well against Georgia. They didn't run the ball well against Oklahoma, and OU's been just struggling to run it overall. 100 yards for either team, and maybe that's a little too extreme. Maybe it's more like 85 or 90 yards. Whichever team is able to get to that number can win the game. The question is who's more likely to be able to run the ball better in this game? Looks like Jam Miller's back from Alabama, but John Mateer's going to have to be a part of the run game. I mean, he's just going to have to be if OU wants to get to anywhere close to 100 yards. So, yeah, I think both teams are going to struggle running it again, but if you tell me someone gets 90 yards in this game, then I'll probably favor them to win the football game.
What do you think is the biggest issue that has been holding back Oklahoma's offense, and could it perhaps maybe not drastically change? I think it would be I think that's unrealistic, but given the time off to heal up, could it improve in the playoff?
Slightly, because I mean, I just think Bama's defense is really good, man. I don't think they're necessarily better than OU's, but I think they're really good. It's kind of the same issues we talked about throughout the summer and even last year. They've just been beat up, man. And there's been times this year where they've started two true freshman tackles and a redshirt freshman on the interior of the offensive line. So they've just been. They've just been rotating offensive linemen once again, and they've been playing a lot of young offensive linemen. Like Jake Michaela, I would guess, probably doesn't play, so that takes out a center. So you're going to move over one of your guards to play center in this game, which he did against LSU and played well. So you just haven't been able to find much continuity. Maybe all the zone read stuff that's been there, maybe the right reads haven't always been read by John Mateer. It's just been kind of a mess this year, man. They've struggled to find an identity. They struggle to push people back. It's just kind of, they just need to find a five and just have those guys stay healthy and let them grow and move forward together, which I think that they're doing with the two true freshmen and Fauje and Fasusi and Eddie Pierre-Louis. It's just, they can't find any continuity in the run game, man. So I would say that's the biggest issue. There's some talent there. There's some young talent, but it's just, everything seems so damn difficult for this offense is what's been the case. Everything.
Now, I heard a rumor, Tyler. I'm wondering if you could confirm this or not, that Brent Venables owns the state of Alabama. Can you confirm or deny this?
I can confirm this. I have seen it in person that he owns the state of Alabama. Now, that's easy to say just because he's 4-0 in the SEC. But how about this stat for you? OU has played four teams from the state of Alabama in SEC play. And in all four of those games, the defense has scored in the football game. Last year at Auburn, OU's first ever SEC win, Kip Lewis gets the pick six to win the game. Last year against Alabama, OU has Kip Lewis again has the pick six in the second half. Auburn this year, OU forced a safety in the fourth quarter. And Alabama this year, Eli Bowen had the pick six the other way. So, of course, he owns them. He's the defensive guy. He's calling the plays. He's the defensive coordinator. And the OU defense has always scored against Alabama teams in the SEC. I mean, yeah, of course he owns the state of Alabama. Yeah, and I'm sure it'll happen again on Friday night.
All right. Hey, last thing about this game, and I'm holding off on this interview. I'm going to put it out on Thursday. So I don't want to ruin any of your predictions or anything, but if you're prepared to make it, who do you got winning this game?
Oh, I am definitely prepared to make this prediction. Normally what I do is like an early week feel, and I see if I'll kind of adjust throughout the week based on injury or just scuttlebutt that's out there, whatever. I felt like 13-10 final score, OU winning the entire time. The OU defense is elite, man. I shared some numbers with you. I don't think that you doubt that. I mean, we're talking to the guy way back in July that was the only guy at SEC Media Day that predicted 10-2. SEC Mike, Michael Bratton, 10-2 prediction. Give him a hand on that one. The OU defense is legit. Bama's defense, I think, is really good. Both offenses right now are beat up and just trying to find their way. I just think it's going to be a slugfest, field position type of game. Field goals are going to be big in this game. Luckily for OU, they've got the best kicker in America. Well, the kicker that won the Groza Award, but he's like second team All-American on every single list. I can't figure that out. I think it's a close game throughout, low scoring game throughout. OU and the under has hit all year long, it feels like. I think it will again. I think Tate Sandell hits a late field goal, and OU wins 13-10. It's kind of how I see it. Offense hard to come by again.
Oh, okay. Hey, last question for you, Tyler. Really appreciate your time. Do you think Texas is going to win their playoff game?
Oh, man. If they just didn't have to play Ohio State, they would have made it in. Dude, I am so sick and tired of hearing that crap. And the rebuttal to all of that is, well, hey, don't go and get destroyed by a bad Florida team on the road, which I agree with. Don't go on the road and get destroyed by a bad Florida team. But how about this, Mike? On the very same day, OU and Texas were in pretty similar situations on November 15th. Both two-loss football teams, both with incredible opportunities with the entire country watching. OU was going to Alabama. Texas was going to Georgia, all right? I think everyone knew that both teams needed to win that game to get in the playoff. Well, what did OU do? OU found a way to win at Alabama. And by the way, OU and Texas were underdogs by about the same amount. OU went and took care of business at Alabama. Texas got outscored 21-0 in the fourth quarter at Georgia. So, yeah, don't get destroyed by Florida. How about with an opportunity in Athens to really state your case? You don't get your doors blown off in the second half like you did. No sympathy for Texas. And all I will tell you is I told the first time we met, Mike, I said, just wait until you're around these Texas fans, these Texas media. You will dislike them, and it will not take you very much time. I told you so to you, and I told you so to everybody else in the SEC. I believe you said it before, and it was perfectly. They talk like they're Alabama with Auburn's trophy case. I think that was you. It was a great line.
And is there, not to pigeonhole them, because I have some ideas myself, but if you had to compare them to an SEC fan base, where would they land?
I think they're right up there with Alabama. And it's funny because their big rival is Texas, and they seem more like Auburn, where they have the Alabama attitude but the Auburn trophy case, whereas these people have all the championships just like Alabama.
I told you guys, they're unbearable, they're annoying. Sark won't shut up about it. We've been living in this world in the state of Oklahoma forever, but welcome to it now. This is what life is like with Texas and the SEC. It's rough, dude.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my line. I got a new one, Tyler. Everything's bigger in Texas, even the excuses.
Yes.
So
yes.
I can't wait. I can't wait for all the offseason, Arch Manning, Heisman, Texas. They're going to be preseason number one. Just mentally prepare yourself for that now. But before you go, Tyler, tell our audience that may not know how to find you and how to follow you on social media.
Yeah, just go to the App Store. We got a free app, KREF. You can search it there. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., we have local programming. I mean, we talk a lot of OU football, but we talk a lot of SEC football and a lot of college football as well. Teddy Lehman's my co-host from 3 to 6 every day. Dari Noka, lead anchor of the SEC Network, is with us from 9 to noon on the station every day. So if you want to hear from time to time what's going on in Norman or just some fun SEC talk, we got you from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day. KREF in the App Store. Just go download that, and you can listen anywhere in the world, man. And we do. We get a lot of trash talk on our text line from SEC folks, so it's a lot of fun.
Okay, perfect.